That's why I got on these glasses, because I'm kind of going through a semi-midlife crisis.
Okay. I'm
trying to find my look at 42. I got a little gray hair and all that, you know, so.
You got gray hair?
You see, you don't see it?
Okay, I don't have gray hair.
You don't have gray hair. Okay, well, that's fine. But I see you got, listen, Randy, y'all can't see, but Randy is in the house today, and Randy has on his shades.
Looking cool.
He's
I got,
cool.
I got on my picnic basket.
Picnic basket.
Picnic.
And they fit snug like some picnic baskets.
Oh, God. All right. We're going to go ahead and get this thing going. We're having too much fun. Listen, good morning, you guys. You're listening to The Amateur's Edge. And today's episode is going to be exciting because it is about girl power. Girl power. Yes, girl power all day long. We'll be bringing on some female athletes and talking to them about their journey as athletes and their whole process of their commitments to schools and all of that kind of good stuff. We just have a great lineup. And Jerrion, go ahead and kind of kick that off for us.
So on today's show, we're going to have some long-term clients of B3 Better. One of them is going to be Bailey Dean. She's committed to Jacksonville State University. She's going to be playing Goldie. She's going to be an incoming freshman this upcoming year.
Okay.
So I want to talk a little bit about her journey. Also, Sophia Chipnick, a very highly recruited lacrosse player. Lacrosse is a growing sport down here in Northeast Florida.
It is.
Again, she's one of the best players in the country. Just committed to Clemson, will be an incoming freshman upcoming fall as well. And then calling in, we're going to have Scotland David. She's a redshirt sophomore at the University of Oklahoma State. She plays softball. I was one of the best players coming out of this area for a very long time. So she's going to call in and tell us a little bit about the college experience as a female.
Oh, this is going to be great, man. So make sure you stay tuned and stick around for the entire show because, you know, we have these three segments. So what's going on in the sports world, man?
Man, these NBA contracts are through the roof.
Yes. I think my son picked the wrong sport.
He definitely did, because Sean was All-American growing up in basketball as well, but he decided to go the football route. But looking at these contracts, I mean, you look at Bradley Beal, $250 mil.
For
5 years.
I'd sign it.
You sign it?
Zach LaVine, $215 mil for 5 years. Jalen Brunson, 4 years, $104 million. Some of these guys on this list I never even heard of. I heard of Yusuf Djorkaeff, and I heard of Dortz. Tyus Jones, he was a baller. Gary Payton got paid, $28 million. Like, these guys are getting paid.
But the thing is, fellas, like, you know, are these contracts worth it, man? I guess they are because they're giving it to them. But, like, these guys are not even proven, like, that in the league to me. You know what I'm saying? They're just sustainable guys. You know what I'm saying? A lot of them are, you know.
Well, Bradley Beal, he's proven. Zach LaVine is. Jalen Brunson came along. Anthony Simmons, he's a younger player. He's showing some flashes of greatness. He's only 23 years old, too, and just signed a $100 million contract.
But can you win a championship with these guys, man? Are these teams trying to win championships, or are they just trying to keep good guys for their roster?
I would say Washington and Chicago are trying to build around Bradley Beal and Zach LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brunson, not real sure. Like, the Knicks, they're always in a rebuilding stage.
Yeah, it's
you never
crazy.
Know when they're going to get
era.
Out of that.
In this era, yeah, definitely.
And Anthony Simmons, I think he could be a good sidekick to Damian Lillard, you know. So I know that out there in Portland, they're trying to build something big. And, you know, there's been some rumors of them heavily pursuing KD, and KD and Dame saying they would like to play with each other. So,
but everybody's in that bid for KD and Kyrie.
Yeah.
The K&K, you know what I'm saying? Definitely.
Which is a great segue into the next topic we want to talk about, is that saga with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. What you think about that?
Man, I just think that those guys are searching for something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's to the point where they don't even know what they want. They don't know what their legacy is going to be. They superstars, right?
Yeah.
But they're building a legacy, something that's going to last forever. And, like, it's not about money anymore.
No, definitely not.
So what is it about? Like, you keep moving teams and moving teams, getting these star players. I think it's actually them, man. I think it's the people that's around them, maybe parents or whatever, even though they've grown or whatever. But I think it's something they did at a younger age or something, and they're searching for something.
Yeah, I know Kevin Durant, his legacy, in my opinion, isn't cemented because he went to a championship-caliber team already.
That won without
beat him the year before.
And won without
his team was up 3-1, so, like, you went on a already superstar team. So it's like, I think he still has a lot to prove.
Definitely.
You know, and with all the stuff going on with Kyrie, and the uncertainty with Kyrie, I know he felt like that wasn't the place for him to be. And he knows he needs to be somewhere where he can win a championship. Like, he's in year, what, 12 or 13 right now?
Yeah.
So it's not too much longer that he has. So he knows that he needs to lead his own team if he wants to be recognized as one of those top 10 players of all time.
I know, but this bounces back to parents in the community. Like, every time we're not happy in the community these days, we bounce to a different organization, to a different school, you know, and it's just frustrating because sometimes you got to sit there. You had a team that could do something. You just had COVID, injuries, and stuff like that. So, like, sometimes you just got to sit there and go through the process.
No, that's true. That's true. But, you know, as things change and with the transfer rules in college, with the NIL deals, I'm thinking that we're going to see more and more of that type of behavior, you know, as sports progress throughout the year. So I'm trying my best not to be that old man saying, well, back in my day, we just toughed it out.
You know? Yeah, I got you. I'm
they
that.
Don't have to do that anymore. Like, you can go to school your freshman year, and ladies, when y'all go to school your freshman year, everybody feels like they want to come home after their freshman year. Everybody. You know, so it's one of those things where you're going to have to get used to the routine, used to getting up early, and they woo you when they recruit you, but when you get there, you want the numbers. So you gotta push through it all. But now, though, I take that back. You really don't have to push through it if you don't want to. So it's one of those things where I feel like it's going to take away from that learning experience, that ability to build character and learn commitment.
Yeah. And you know what I'm seeing this trickle on down to, because you know my son, he plays AAU, he's 12, so I'm seeing these little young kids, you know, like they get mad or a parent gets upset because the kid's not getting playing time. And next thing you know, next week, they're playing for a whole new team. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just experienced that last week.
Like, how old is your son?
12.
I know, but as a parent, you have to focus on your end goal. So in the process of whatever you're doing, you have to decide whether it's you want to get better. You got to decide whether it's about winning. You got to decide what's your end goal and focus on that. And that should determine whether you transfer or go to another team or not.
It's hard, though, man. Like, I was watching my 3-year-old today, man. I'm ready to transfer him right now, man.
Come on, man.
He was 0 for 6 today. He missed 6 baskets. Wide open. 3 years old.
Okay, he 3 years old, bro.
Come on, man.
He 3 years old, man.
Listen, guys. We got something exciting going on over at B3. Coming up July the 11th is the B3 Better football preseason, football training camp. Get on over to b3better.com/events and go over there and check out that registration for middle school and for high school. And for this segment, this is the exciting part. This segment was brought to you by Bank of England Mortgage Jacksonville, helping home buyers and homeowners accomplish their financial goals. Head on over to www.boejacks.com and get to know their dedicated team. And don't forget, as you do that, get on over to b3better.com/events, because you got to check out this event. It's going to be hot, right, Jerrion?
Oh, it's going to be real hot. You know, we're going to be taking athletes through pro style workouts, you know, making sure that what we do shows them exactly what it is they need to be working on to get to the next level from an athletic perspective. You know, a lot of times you're in situations where you're working out with your team and you're doing more team-based stuff, but our objective is to be able to pinpoint the things that you need as an individual so that you can customize this, so that you can have a customized experience and really be locked in and focused on the things that you need to get to the next level. So it's gonna be a great experience. We invite everybody to come out. We know we are a month out from the start of the season, so it's time to take it to another level and get locked in.
I love it. Listen, we guys, we're getting ready to pay some bills. We'll see you guys on the other side.
Girl,
stay here.
Power.
And welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. This is A.D. Roberts and Jerrion Sanders, and this is The Amateur's Edge. Today's topic is a good one. We are talking to young ladies because this is an episode on girl power. Isn't that right, Jay?
Yes, sir. And our first two guests that we're going to have on the show are two ladies who are young and dear to my heart, Bailey Dean, again committed to Jacksonville State University, and Sophia Chipnick. How you ladies doing today?
Good.
Good, good. Glad to have you guys. So we're just going to dive right into it. Bailey, can you tell me what led to your commitment to Jacksonville State University?
So, I mean, with COVID, it was definitely harder to, like, figure out what I wanted and the time span. But I really just wanted to find a school that, even if I didn't have athletics and I would get hurt, that I would, like, want to go to school there and have everything in that standpoint. And I definitely did. And then I went on my visit, and I met the coach, and I met all the girls, and it really just felt like a family. And it's 7 hours away from home, so I really wanted a home away from home. So it really just checked all those boxes, and that's why I committed there.
So what are you majoring in?
Exercise, science, and wellness. I want to be a chiropractor. So, yeah, I'm excited about that.
You can come back and intern for me then.
Yes.
Good deal. And Sophia, what led to your commitment to Clemson University?
I had a couple things. And like Bailey, I wanted a school that I would still love if I didn't have sports. And then Clemson's commitment to their athletes, and not only their male athletes, but their female athletes, I just feel like is unparalleled to almost any school. Third, being a part of an inaugural class is definitely a rare opportunity that I wanted to.
First year? This is the first year of the lacrosse program? Oh, that's huge.
Oh, awesome.
That's huge.
Trendsetter.
So I'm really excited to start that and lay the foundation for the future of the program. And then fourth, again, the coaching staff and their emphasis on culture and their commitment to success.
Awesome. Sophia, I got somebody I can introduce you to that went to Clemson. Now he's a quarterback of the Jaguars, but we'll talk about that later. All right, so.
hey, real quick, the Clemson's facilities are second to none. Mm-hmm.
For real?
They are. And then right now they're actually building a facility for us, gymnastics and women's rowing, that's going to be $27 million. So I haven't heard of a girls, just a girls facility that costs that much. So.
How far is the drive is that?
To Clemson or
from here? From
like 5.5 hours.
Oh yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah. We're looking into it.
Yeah, Brett gonna be down there every weekend checking up.
Yeah. This ain't moving. So, how's the process of being recruited? You know, as a lacrosse player. Let me start with you, Sophia.
Well, they changed the rule. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago where they can't speak to you until September 1st of your junior year. So for me, that was very beneficial because I didn't really start to compete with other girls until I was about a sophomore. So to have the opportunity to continue to grow and then talk to coaches at the same time was very special to me. And then again, with COVID, I actually had been committed to a school and I thought that's what I wanted. But then going down the line, I committed later to obviously Clemson in August of last year. So I think during the recruiting process, I'm glad that it changed because I don't think you really know what you want as a 12-year-old versus like a 16-year-old. So now,
That's such a huge difference.
Huge difference.
It's very big. I know, because I would know girls that would commit in like seventh grade, and I'm like, I wouldn't even know colleges then. Like, I don't know how you know where you want to go to school. So to have that rule change, I think, is very a big step in lacrosse, and to also give the girls another upper hand that start in places like North Florida and don't really get to see lacrosse until their middle school years, and by then up north, they're already competing at a really like high level. So to be able to work hard and then also compete at the same level as them later on was very, I think, beneficial.
Did Clemson reach out to you? Like, because, you know, in male sports, they, you know, you got the social media and all this kind of stuff. So, like, how did you and Clemson, like, meet each other?
So, last summer, I said I decommitted from a school. So, I was going to, like, camps every day. Like, I don't think I had, like, a day off. So, coaches that I was talking to in the process, they had kind of already filled out their recruiting, like, their commitment classes, so I had to just keep on going to schools. And then some coaches actually reached out to the head coach of Clemson, and by then I was kind of already waiting for another school, but then she reached out to me and I went up on a visit like 2 days after we had our first phone call, and I just fell in love with it. So I just knew it was the place for me.
So Bailey, what do you feel gave you your competitive edge as you got ready for college? And
Well, definitely being a goalkeeper, I think consistency was the best thing for me. And you need just trust in anywhere on the field, but definitely where if I mess up, it's a goal, and that changes the whole entire game in soccer. So really just making sure I was consistent, and then just the small things, which when you're younger don't really seem like a big thing. But in the end, like in college, if you have a little bit more power, a little more strength, it really goes a long way, especially coming in soccer, being an 18-year-old with 23-year-olds sometimes.
Yeah.
With all these COVID years, you really need those small things end up being like huge in the end. So I think that, and then just like work ethic. Definitely. In the end, like if you just keep going and keep pushing, even on like the hard days when you're like, I don't really want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
It really just helps because the recruiting process is cruel sometimes, but you just got to keep going and going, especially for like the female side, because for me, you get like 3 offers maybe.
Yeah.
And you really just got to look and be like, okay, what out of these 3 is like going to be the right fit for me? So,
yeah. Yeah. And pushing through something is something we had some a love-hate relationship for a while there. We got stuck on, what was it, like a 24-inch box?
Mentally, yes. That was a big thing for me, is just being, not getting in my head and getting after that. Like, that's what B3 really helped, because it, like, confidence wise, it helps so much. And just especially in my position, you have to, like, let things go.
You do.
And even in the recruiting process, because it's a business to them. And to you, you're just a high schooler, but you got to, like, really just, when something happens, you got to brush it off and just move on to the next thing.
So that brings up something in my head. That ability to be able to move to the next play. When you give up a goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that has to be probably like the worst thing in the world at that time. Yes. However, what's your mindset and how do you move on to the next? But,
well, also, like, I got to tell myself there's 10 other girls in front of me that also had to make a mistake for it to get to me. Mm-hmm. So I tell myself that. And then if I even just let up where it goes right through my hands, I'm like, I want another shot to make a save. Yeah, I don't want to, like, not get shot on or anything. Mm-hmm. So it's really just having to put it behind your head. I mean, it takes a while to get there. When I was, like, 12 and being a goalkeeper, it was the worst thing ever. But it's definitely, like, knowing that it wasn't just you that made the mistake. It was there's other girls in front of you. And even if you're a field player, you got to just, yes, the mistake isn't as big, but you just got to move on to the next play. It's a very quick game. It's that helps a lot. It's not just one thing, but yeah.
Yeah, the mental side is the side that people, again, forget so much about. And we had a whole segment about it last week, you know, that is not only about building yourself up from a physical perspective, because once you get to college, everybody's an athlete. Mm-hmm. Everybody was the man or the girl where they came from.
At
it's
home.
Like, it's all about what's between your ears and who can push themselves and who can move on to the next play. So, Sophia, what put you in your position?
I think the same thing as Bailey, work ethic and mindset. My dad and I, we listened to this former Navy SEAL called David Goggins. I love him. And his thing is, like, taking souls. So just knowing, like, when I step out on the field, like, I've worked harder than all of these girls. So I'm going to show them that. And then also just, like, having just 1 second more of energy can take a girl's, like, complete confidence. And then it, like, fuels me at the end. So I think, like, having that work ethic and mindset and knowing that I've put in the work and, like, I deserve to be here, like, at different types of showcases, really gave me an edge as a player over other girls, especially defenders.
So you go out there trying to take somebody's soul, huh?
Snatching it out.
Yeah, in my head, yep.
So I'm a big process guy. I'm about the process. So, like, parents want to understand the process of how you got to this point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know a little bit about soccer, not a lot about lacrosse. So, like, organizational-wise, coming up, like, was it very expensive to, like, join a lacrosse team? And, like, how were the tournaments? And what's more important, you know, lacrosse and the amateur athletic side of it or high school? Which one got you there?
So, basically, travel versus high school.
So, definitely, Florida is not a very big, like, lacrosse state. The states for lacrosse are in the north, like Maryland or Connecticut or New York. Being from Florida, it is more expensive just because you have to go and travel to these places like Maryland to really be seen, and there's not a lot of camps and showcases down here. But similarly, I think the amateur side, so like club, you have to be on a club team because, again, your high school team down here really doesn't mean anything because you're not surrounded by the best players, where like as in Maryland, it's like the top 10 recruits could all be on the same team, you know? So you really have to find a club team that is going to enable you to compete at a higher level in these tournaments and showcases, because there is, like, levels or divisions with tournaments. So there's, like, if you compete in level, like, 1 or level A, then you will be seen by the better college coaches. So being able to find a club team that best suits that, it definitely is. I think it's more of an expensive sport, especially with, like, the traveling cost. But I definitely think it's worth it because I think it's going to be the next, like, biggest sport in, like, women's sports. So
I know. So I got a good friend of mine whose daughter plays soccer. So I know, Bailey, soccer is definitely, definitely expensive. But you said something I want to touch on, man. People swear, like, when you're in your own city and you, like, the best kid in your own city, that you're ready for the next level. But you got to go to where the best players are.
Yes.
You got to use the internet and research to go where the best players are. If you don't, you're just going to be the best player in your city. And that really doesn't mean anything. You got to go out and find those best players.
And the biggest thing between, like, club, high school, and college is, like, the speed of the game. So, like, this summer I've been playing with other college players, and, like, it's just so much faster. So you have to, like, go put yourself in that situation, because if you just get thrown into it, you're obviously not going to be able to succeed. So getting used to that speed and that level of intensity is definitely something that you need to do a couple times before you go into like the next level.
So Bailey, you got to tell me about the soccer, because it's like two major club sports in Jacksonville. We're doing real, real good in high school. I heard we had like about four teams that almost won a championship this year. So like, give me the big ups on soccer in Jacksonville.
So yeah, we definitely have a lot more opportunities than lacrosse, just because it's bigger down south. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we have like ECNL. You have a bunch of different like club type of teams, and I played for Florida Elite for a while.
Okay.
And it definitely, we had showcases where we could go and like hundreds and hundreds of colleges would be there. Mm-hmm. So you just had to send out your emails and then hopefully they would show up to your games. And even if you had like a star player, they were going to see one girl, they could come see you. So yeah, definitely that helped out a lot. High school here, I mean, a college could come and see you if they really liked you, but it wasn't like a big thing. I was lucky enough to play on a really good high school team, so I could get highlights from it. So, and then I could give it to colleges and they could see. But definitely it was the club scene, and then going to showcases was the biggest thing. But it's definitely a lot more manageable being in Florida because it's just such a big sport down here too. So, yeah, and it was a great time too, and I loved it, every second of it too. So, yeah.
Yeah, soccer is definitely very competitive down here. And I think that lacrosse is coming right behind it. There's tons of great athletes in the state of Florida, and coaches from all over the country, they salivate over Florida athletes, like totally. So, you know, guys who don't get that chance to make it to a Division I school in football, I think that sport of lacrosse is going to start to trickle into those guys. And those opportunities are like, you know, nonstop.
I was actually talking to a coach last weekend, and she was like, the best athletes come from Florida. And then it's like Georgia. So hearing that made me very confident just being an athlete. So.
Definitely.
And parents got to think, man, like, is the bottom line your kid playing football and basketball, or is the bottom line them getting a full scholarship, or close to a full scholarship as they can?
Man, they too expensive raising them right now. You better get a full scholarship.
Yeah, man, these loans, man, these loans, man. So, like, can you get a full scholarship in soccer and lacrosse?
It's just not that common, to be honest, because we just don't get as much money as the male sports do. So we really have to focus on our grades. It's like a huge thing. Like a guy could have like a 2.5 and get a full ride. And I had like a 4.3 and I still didn't get like a full ride. And yeah, so you definitely, being a female in like sports, you definitely have to have a lot more on your plate.
Yes.
Just because we have to focus on our grades and have amazing grades, but also be an amazing athlete at the same time. So it definitely, you have to juggle a bit more. But in the end, it was worth it. I mean, we don't have as much money. But if you go to a school like she's going to Clemson, you get the male athlete money too. So in the end, you can like steal a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And at Jacksonville State, we're going up to Conference USA. Okay. So that means football is getting more money. So we're getting the old Mission coach, Richard Rodriguez.
Okay.
So we're getting like $20 million into our program, and women's soccer gets it too. So I'm excited about it.
Awesome.
Yeah. So happening to them, we do get some, but yeah, no, it's exciting.
Real quick. So if you want to know what percentage you can get from schools at what sport you play, all you got to do is go to the NCAA website. It's going to tell you how many full scholarships they can give out, and then basically they'll divide that between players. So you have to call the school to get that information.
Cool.
Awesome, man. Listen, you ladies are going to hang around with us.
Oh, yeah, girl.
Awesome. So this segment was brought to you by First Coast Cargo. First Coast Cargo leads the freight transportation and logistics services market and is known as the region's most dependable and highly professional service provider. Contact First Coast Cargo toll free today at 844-731-2137 for all your professional shipping needs. And yes, you have been listening. Yes, you've been listening to the Amateur's Edge here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. And we'll see you on the other side once we go and, you know, pay a couple of bills. Is that okay, guys?
You gotta pay them bills.
But it's all about girl power, baby. Let's get it.
All right, we'll see you back. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Amateur's Edge right here on 1010 XL. And this has been exciting, man, because you guys needed to be privy to while we were paying some bills, the conversation that was going on, man. But let's kick it on off, Jay.
On the line, we have Scotland Davis. Scotland is a softball player at the University of Oklahoma State. Scotland, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Good to have you on. Scotland, been a long time client of B3 Better. Started with us when she was 13 years old. Went to Ponte Vedra High School and ended up at Oklahoma State University. So we want to know.
Yeah, how do you get that far?
How did you end up at Oklahoma State University?
I think it's really family ties. So I've started coming to softball camps here since like fourth grade because my grandpa and his sister lived out here. So it's kind of just a family thing.
Okay, okay. Good deal. What do you feel gave you your competitive edge to get to that point?
I honestly think it was the teams I was on and the people I got to face. And also working out with y'all, it made me more competitive because I was around such great athletes and I only wanted to be better.
Awesome. That's awesome, Scotland. I love this episode, Girls Power. And so, like, give the audience a perspective of Jacksonville softball, because I know a lot of parents paying a lot of money in the city to try to get their kids seen at different organizations. Different organizations try to sell that they can put you in front of different coaches. So how is that?
Yeah, I honestly think softball has gotten so big recently. Every state has good organizations. And, like, no matter what state you're in, all these teams are going out to California, Colorado, for these big tournaments to be around these coaches. And I think Jacksonville softball, it was a really good start for me just because I got to meet so many people, which helped me get so many connections in the softball world.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're, like, playing such good athletes in Florida. Like, it's good to leave to see other people and to play against other teams, but there's really good athletes in Florida.
Definitely. How long did you play softball? When did you start?
I think I started when I was 7 or 8. Started at Davis Park up in Ponte Vedra.
Good deal, good deal. So what all did you do to really prepare yourself at this level? I know you mentioned, you know, coming to train at B3 and you know, competing against the boys, which she used to keep up with the boys pretty good. So, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, your whole process. You know, I know that your parents, Christy and Dallas, put a whole lot into you, and you guys, you know, traveled every summer, traveled through the fall. Can you talk a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, so ever since, I think it was 12 or 14, we were gone, like, every weekend for tournaments. And when I was playing, we didn't have the junior year rule yet. So, like,
what's the junior year rule?
You can't talk to colleges until your junior year or something like that.
Got it.
So whenever I was playing, we didn't have that rule. So, like, in middle school, we were going to the biggest showcases with college coaches there. And I think the biggest thing for me is, like, I faced, like, a lot of adversity in travel ball, and I think that just helped me, like, become a better athlete and, like, more confident in myself. So, and then, obviously, it's a bunch of pressure having college coaches watch you in middle school, which is even crazy to think about now. But I think it just made me, like, mentally tougher.
Yeah, speaking of mentally tough, man, I want to talk about the daddy-daughter experience, because, like, your dad is, like, you're the princess. And, like, I have a daughter, and, like, sometimes I just have to just – when I mentor her about sports and about just life and stuff, like, sometimes I just got to take a mental break, man. It's hard because that's your daughter. That's your baby. Like, and can you tell me, like – I just want the two of y'all to, like, kind of answer questions about the experience with your dad. Like, was he hard on you, or how was the relationship?
No, so my parents are really good about softball's on the field. We'll mention it in the car, but they never, like, browbeat me about my performance or anything. Like, no matter how I did, they were always super supportive. And, like, I never faced any, like, consequences or them yelling at me based on my performance. And I got super lucky with my parents.
And Sophia, how was your experience?
I had three older siblings, so my dad had kind of gone through the athletic experience with each of them before, so I feel like I kind of got, like, the best because he figured out what not to do, like, not to push too hard versus not to push too little. So I kind of, like, whenever I would get, you could say, like, off track, or I would get, like, distracted with other things, like, he would never be like, you're getting, like, off track, but he would just be like, just make sure that you're doing, that you're remembering your goals. And I think he found, like, the perfect balance of, like, knowing that I had these goals that I want to set out, and I told him that, and he was like, well, if you want to really accomplish these goals, here's what you need to do, and I can help you with that. And so it was almost like a deal that I was like, I do want to accomplish these, so he's going to help me achieve them. And then just we train, like, every day together. So I think having that, like, relationship with your dad is very special. And, I mean, like, he's my best friend, so it's, like, very special to be able to travel with him, train with him, and, like, he knows when I feel like I did good or when I feel like I did bad, like, he knows how to approach me on different situations or make me focus. And, like, I think the entire 360, he definitely has just been there for me my entire athletic process.
So I see your dad over here grinning from ear to ear. He's grinning over here proud. He's taking it.
Hey.
He's grinning from ear to ear. But was there a process? Because parents push mm-hmm. when you're younger, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you the kids don't get it. Mm-hmm. Was there a time when you just got it and you was like, you know what? I got to get up on my own. I got to do this. Like, was there a time period?
Something that clicked.
I think – so I actually – so my sister was always, like, the star of the lacrosse team. Like, she was amazing. And so she was a senior when I was a freshman. And there was one game where – and if she's listening to this, she's going to be a little bit mad if we're saying this. But there was one game where I had played better than her. And my dad realized it, and I realized it, that – I do have, like, potential, because, like, before it was kind of just like, oh, like, I'm playing for fun, and, like, if I get a college scholarship, like, great. But then after that game, I, like, realized I was like, I could really do something with this. And so I told my dad that I did want to do something with it, and I told him that, well, first we had, like, little goals, like, get a Division I scholarship, and then as, like, I started to accomplish these little things, it just became, like, more serious, and now I have, like, bigger goals that I want to accomplish in college and then later on afterwards. But I think just finding out, like, that you have this potential, like, why waste it? Mm-hmm. And, like, really, you do have to put it, because they always say at V3, hard work beats talent. And that is, like, I think the biggest thing, because I wasn't always the most talented, but I outworked everyone else on the team. So that has put me in the position I am, like, in today.
Good deal.
Bailey.
I mean, for me, what was the question? I was just listening to her and I was like, oh my gosh.
No, it was just about your experience with your parents, not necessarily your dad. Like, okay. When did you get it? Like,
so my mom probably was my biggest. I mean, my dad being a football coach, he definitely gave me a little bit of insight, but they're very two separate sports. Mm-hmm. But it sort of hit me when it was my freshman year and I had played competitive volleyball and soccer my whole entire life, like, nationally. And I really just had to make the decision that soccer was going to be my sport. That. And it was a tough decision, but I'm happy I made it. And doing that, I sort of was like, okay, this is these next 4 years, I'm going to have to grind and I'm going to have to push. Mm-hmm. And I think right when that hit, me and my mom were like, okay, we have to go. Like, she helped me so much, and I'm, like, so thankful for her. And my dad was sort of like the person that, like, me and her were, like, butting heads a little. I was like, okay, let me talk to him. And he, like, calmed me down. But, like, in the end, like, I don't know, I could never have done it without her. She was, like, my biggest supporter in everything.
Did you cry?
I did. Like, when we committed, because it was such a hard road, we were driving back home, and we were just like, oh, my gosh. And we were just started crying. I was like, why am I crying? Because we don't cry. Me and my mom, if, like, Jarian knows, we were, like, emotionally, like, we were just, like, we're really calm and chill. We were like, we did it. We finally did it. It was, like, just, like, a relief. But then, like, two weeks later, I was like, okay, now I got, like, to, like, get ready for college. Mm-hmm. But, no, without her, it would have really been a totally different thing. I mean, it wasn't my dad, but he definitely helped me a lot, too. He was, like, sort of my rock when I needed, like, someone just, like, to talk to. But, yeah, no. So, definitely my mom and my dad helped me out so much.
I'm getting a lot of gems here because I'm fighting my daughter right now. She's 9.
I'm telling you, bro.
So
it's hard,
trying to figure it out. Scotland, how would you say campus life is different for females versus male athletes?
You honestly might be kind of surprised, but here at Oklahoma State, we're all, like, treated the same. Like, we all go to training table We all go to training table together, which is breakfast in the morning, kind of like a buffet thing, and then dinners. But, and all the donors, they're super cool. I got lucky because Oklahoma State's a big softball school. Like, I think we're, not to be braggy, but I think we might be the best women's sports here. So our donors are super cool, and we interact with them a lot, kind of like football. So I think just the main difference is, like, the facilities and what we have access to or not.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, like, we could have access to anything that, like, football or baseball does, but they're not in our facilities.
That's definitely not at every school. So, like, parents, when you go to these schools, you need to talk to the players that's on the bench. Not the players that start, and the players on the bench to get the inside of everything. That's very, very important because she's very, very lucky, and every program is not like that. I got kids going to school, and they have to bring their uniforms, their pads and stuff from high school because the college doesn't have the money for it right now. Yeah, yeah, I got kids like that, man. Every school is not the same. You really got to get inside away from the coaches and ask people about those situations. Yes.
That's huge. So, ladies, and we'll start with Scotland first. What would you say are some of the challenges of being a female athlete in general? And I think y'all touched on it a little bit, you know, with having to basically have a 4.0. You know,
yeah. We talked about that at the break.
Yeah, that's that off-air conversation.
But is Scotland, what would you say?
I honestly think the biggest challenge is that we don't have, like, as many professional opportunities, and the professional opportunities that we do have, it's nothing like men have, and, like, the pay-wise. Like, professional softball, that's obviously becoming a big thing right now, but no matter, like, what kind of lifestyle you live, you can't, like, support yourself with the money from that. And I honestly think, obviously, it's based on athlete to athlete and school to school, but, like, as you can obviously see, like, football and softball NLI deals are completely different right now. Like, I don't think any softball player is getting offered any kind of NLI deals like these football guys. But I think that's just the biggest thing that's different. It's just the financial part.
Yeah, that NIL is going to change the game significantly. Definitely. Bailey, what would you say?
I mean, definitely for the pay. I mean, the women's national team just got equal pay from, like, the World Cup. Like, they would get to, like, the semifinals, like, the quarterfinals, and then if the men's team did it, they'd be getting paid way more. And mm-hmm. we've won, like, a bunch of World Cups. So definitely that. And then really just at the college, I feel like we definitely have to, like, fight for different, like, types of things. Like, now that we did move up, we are getting things that the football team already have. Like, we're finally going to get, like, whirlpools and, like, a bunch of different, like, doctors. But definitely NLIs are a big thing. Like, mm-hmm. you can walk in with football and they can – bribe you one with, like, a $1 million deal. But with soccer and, like, maybe lacrosse, I don't really know, but we don't get that. Like, I have some friends that are, like, getting smaller deals, but nothing that, like, that crazy where they, in the end, the offer doesn't really matter. It's the money afterwards. So definitely that is, like, two different things with male and female sports. So yeah,
I got one thing before you chime in. Just remember, those connections are the biggest thing you can get. Mm-hmm. Of course, that degree is what you're there for, but it's the people that you meet. So make sure you use those people.
Yes, especially going into a field where I want to work with, like, sports medicine. I'm definitely going to being able to, like, go play a sport at a college and meeting, like, the different athletic trainers and the chiropractor that's already there. I'm hoping I can make connections and see if I can, like, make and go to, like, sports teams.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to use it. Definitely I'm not going to, like, waste the opportunity, even though it's not the same as the male side. I'm going to take as much as I can from it because not everyone, only, like, 1% really gets to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely, you got to, like, if you do get it, know that you need to use as much as you can.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Sophia?
I think we've seen it, like, on the big scale and, like, on little scale in, like, high school, but I think men's sport is just more, like, generally supported by the public.
Mm-hmm.
We, for Episcopal, we had one of, like, the best lacrosse teams in the state, and even, like, our guys lacrosse team had like triple the amount of people in the stands, even though they, like, weren't as good, which is just, like, surprising. So it just, that's, like, almost, like, frustrating and discouraging, like, as a female athlete. It's like you keep on, like, working so hard, but it's like, I mean, it's fun to play in front of a crowd, and so, like, when you don't get that opportunity and then you see a team that does get it just because they're men, it just is discouraging as a woman. So, like, definitely down the road, I think probably all three of us just want to see women's sports be more supported and help, like, it change. And I think there's been a lot more recognition to female sports because mm-hmm. there has been more awareness that we don't get equal pay. Like, if I wanted to go play professional lacrosse, I couldn't make a salary off of it. I couldn't live off of it, which is frustrating because, as you were saying earlier, these guys – are getting paid $205 million for a 5-year contract, and it's like we could play our entire lives and we wouldn't make that much. So that's frustrating. And you work so hard at something, and then you know that you want to change the end goal. So, hopefully by the time that we're out of college that we can change the end goal and make a living off of the sport that we work very hard in.
Yeah, and I think that starts with just bringing more awareness, to the sport, doing community outreach things. Because at the end of the day, if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. And that's why it's hard, when you hear people talk about NBA pay versus WNBA, there's billions of dollars thrown into the into the NBA. So, therefore, they can't pay those guys $205 million versus the WNBA. It's probably a fraction of that. So, it's not financially feasible to do that at the time. But, again, as long as y'all are getting out, getting in front of people, planning these different events, bringing more awareness. Because it's entertaining. When I went to y'all games, they were very entertaining to me. I loved them. Mm-hmm. And obviously I'm biased because I'm coming to watch you guys. But still, I think the more awareness out there, the more people come to see it, the more sponsors get involved, the more money's put into it, and then the more equally balanced it can start to become.
Yeah, and I think it just goes back to connections. You have connections with people, and you build that relationship. And then the people that know people and so on. So I think it just continues to grow. So having a good foundation with connections and people is something that you want to see.
Good deal, good deal. Well, ladies, I want to thank you all for coming on the show. Again, I've been watching y'all grow up since y'all were little girls, 13, 14 years old. That's awesome. And it makes me feel extremely proud to see you guys get to this level. So
yes,
I'm extremely proud of you guys. I know y'all are going to be extra successful once y'all get to college. And when y'all make it big, please don't forget about me.
Girl power, girl
send some
power.
Send some tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Good deal, good deal.
Thanks for having us. Happy early birthday, Darian.
All right, thank you.
What, he gonna be 50? Okay, 42. I know.
Oh, no, that's wild. But, yeah, we want to listen, man. Happy birthday, Darian. As we wrap up today, I know it's tomorrow, so we're going to celebrate that sometime next week.
Yeah.
But listen, you've been listening to The Amateur's Edge. Make sure you tune in next week on 1010XL 92.5, and we'll be back at 11 a.m. Awesome. So this is a great time. And remember, this segment was brought to you by Bank of England Mortgage Jacksonville, helping home buyers and homeowners accomplish their financial goals. Head on over to www.boejacks and get to know their dedicated team. Again, you've been listening to 1010XL 92.5.
All right. Girl power.